All right. We are live. This is CGSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cgsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and listen to our podcasts on SoundCloud and our website. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CGSF. Or 2573. This is Khoi Ange Shechlech from the Intlakepmich territories up in the Nicola Valley from Gwaishkana, BC. And I'm your host here on Free Voices, brought to you by Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we have a special awesome show today. We have a subject today, and it's on peace on this January 22nd, 2026. And we have some music coming up from Metro Exodus, Musical Basics, Postmodern Jukebox, Justin Johnson, and if we have enough time, some Johnny Cash. And we have some special guests today with us today, and we have some of our usual co-hosts. We're going to have Wegedesk. We also have my brother, Shkwait Shechlech. And also Lady Faima and our Mary from Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we also have another special guest. I'll let Lady Faima introduce her. And, oh, yeah, I forgot we do have Charlotte with us, too. Could you introduce?
Yes, we are having hello, everyone. I'm just so delighted to be here at the studio. And we have very distinguished lawyer, distinguished a special guest at our own show at the studio that she has been recommended through Mary. And I'm just so delighted to have her, and she accepted to be with us for the very exclusive interview with us. And her name is Kyla Lee. Hmm.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. We'd also like to welcome all our listeners from all over the world, from England, from Germany, from Spain, from Italy, from Egypt, from Africa, from India, from Russia, from Ukraine, from Japan, from China, from New Zealand, from South America, from North America, all across the United States and all across Canada. Welcome to our Odyssey of Positivity, Human Growth and Empowerment for Human Rights and Justice, and just making this world a better place. And I do have some news for listeners that were brought to listen to us about my father, Barney Angus Shackley, and for those out there that know him, he went on to the spirit world yesterday, and I just figured it's our responsibility to let people know, and lots of condolences and blessings to the Shackley family right now, and their loss of a great father, a great uncle, and a brother. And so we're going to dedicate this next song to him. And this is from Metro Exodus, and this is In the House in a Heartbeat. So stay tuned, listen, and enjoy, everybody. We'll be right back. Thank you. All right, we're back. That was dedicated to my late and great father, Barney Angus Shackley. And we have our brother on the line, Wegedesk, and we'd like to get this show started properly with some deep breaths. And welcome to the program, Wegedesk. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Chief. Thanks for having me on. All the best to Eagle Nation listening around the world and throughout the universe. You're right. Let's get this show started right with some deep breaths. And the best part of the deep breaths is the emotional impact that it has on us. So let's really focus on relaxing our body, bringing in that beautiful and nutritional air deep into our lungs. And on the exhale, let's just let everything go. Let's do three of those. In 3, 2, 1, all the way in through the nose. Yeah, really relaxing those toes and your belly and your jaw. Two more.
Oxygen.
Yeah, that's so good. One more.
Wow.
Whoa, man.
There we go. Feeling awesome. Better already.
Yes, thank you so much, brother. We have a subject today, and it's on peace, and we'd love to hear your words on that.
Absolutely, Chief. Peace. Hey, what a word. It could be a part of something, and it could also be some tranquility. And what I like about peace is that the only way to win a war is with peace. Because with more killing just comes more killing. And that's how powerful peace is. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, you know, with the wars and the competition and the dog-eat-dog world that we think is all out there, I think in reality, all of us appreciate and love peace so much that if any of us are inspired to act in a way outside of peace, we should definitely double check our inspirations, because peace is the foundation for happiness. It's the foundation for health. It's the foundation for all the other enjoyable experiences that we love to experience here on this earth. Mm-hmm. And Chief, I want to acknowledge the passing of your father, the man who brought you into this world, who gave you your life, your spark of life, which is grown into a raging fire of justice and human rights empowerment and all the amazing other loving things that you do. And your father is now, as we say, resting in peace. And I hope that you and everybody else can recognize that the transition from the living to the dead is not a downgrade or a negative, but actually an upgrade and a positive. And I know you probably feel it, Chief, but I did feel it's important to remind all our listeners out there that we can really get hit hard with the death in our family, or it can actually lift us up when we can look at that transformation as, you know, our father going back into heaven. And now we got a man on the inside. We got a dude in heaven directly looking after us, along with all of our other guardian angels like Counselor Fari and all of our ancestors. So I really wanted to remind everybody of that. The greatest peace that we can have is our own peace of mind. So lots of love to you guys. And thanks for having me on the show.
Oh yes, thank you so much. It was it's always a blessing to have you on our program and share your words of wisdom and just your positive energy. It's always a blessing. Thank you for your great breaths and your condolences. We thank you, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you again very soon. And just have a great rest of your day.
Lots of love, Eagle Nation. Bye.
Thank
for
you.
Bye
bye now.
Thank you. Bye bye for now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our brother Wegedesk from the Mi'kmaq people on the East Coast, a high diving champion of the world, and he's always got some special energy for us and just a great blessing. So we're going to continue on with our program, and we're going to play a song designed for her, This is from an artist called Musical Basics and his rendition from Hungarian Rhapsody Nightmare from Liszt. And let's have a listen to that. Enjoy, everybody. We'll be right back. We're back, and we're just going to turn this down, and we're going to introduce our special guest, Kyla Lee. She's a leader in the Canadian legal community, and she's also founded the Canadian Impaired Driving Lawyer Association, and a very special person, and we're going to let her inform us on what she has for us today.
Absolutely. That would be...
Yes,
is our honor to have her at the studio, and really appreciate her time to make it possible to come on air live and sharing her experience and her knowledge. And she's bringing awareness for all the nation as one citizen that we are living in Canada, blessed land of Canada, that she's sharing with us the significant information that she has. We are listening. I pass the floor to you. Thank you very much to be with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. It's quite an honor to be here. And I also just wanted to pass my condolences on to you, Chief.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Your father. That's...
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a lawyer that mostly specializes in driving cases. So the way I describe my practice is anything that you do wrong in a car, I can help defend it, which gives me a unique opportunity to talk to people often about their rights when they're dealing with police, mm-hmm. And, you know, how to get through a police interaction in the best way possible. We see a lot of cases of people who are dealing with police officers who don't know what to do because they've never been involved with the police before, but it's information really anybody, whether you see the police all the time or whether you mm-hmm. never see them, that you could rely on.
Wonderful, wonderful. I believe, you know, that there was the incident, you know, political incident in Richmond that there are the laws has been passed through, and you have been witness on that particular situation that First Nation they were facing with it. If you can speak about that one, because I don't want to add anything to spoil, you know, the because of the lack of my information.
So you're talking about the Cowichan decision,
yes,
in Richmond.
Please.
Yes, that has caused a lot of controversy. Essentially, this was a land claim case that had,
yes,
been going on for about 12 years in the courts.
Wow.
Yes, land claims cases take a very, very long time. And what happened in that case was that the Cowichan First Nation was seeking mm-hmm. ownership of certain lands mm-hmm. in Richmond. The vast majority of those lands are owned either by the federal government, the provincial government, or the Richmond municipal government.
Yes.
There were some lands that were ultimately found to be subject to Aboriginal title mm-hmm. for the Cowichan First Nation that are owned by private landowners. So people mm-hmm. like, you know, you or me,
yes,
owning a home. And so,
yes,
that's what's caused the controversy.
Amazing. And I believe, you know, when the proceed, you know, the whole situation has been processed to the court case, the document of regarding this case, it was about 3,000 document, isn't it?
The decision, the court decision, was
the
about 3,000 paragraphs,
wow,
long, yes. And I read it. It was a long weekend that weekend.
Wow. That's amazing. That's marvelous. Is there anything else that you wish, you know, the public and us as an individual to be aware to know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the decision, because a lot of people are interpreting this decision incorrectly, they're,
yes,
taking it to mean that, you know, if Aboriginal title is declared on mm-hmm. lands that you may have an ownership interest in, that means a First Nation can come in and just take your house away. And that's not how it's going to happen. There's no First Nation out there that wants to take somebody's home away from them.
Exactly.
And the Cowichan people have said, we're not aiming to kick private landowners mm-hmm. off their land.
Mm-hmm.
The judge also commented on this, and a lot of people overlook the judgment that the judge said, you know, where these private interests overlap with the Aboriginal title, it's the government's responsibility to sort that out. And,
absolutely,
that means paying compensation, most likely, is what's going to happen to the First Nations people, not booting people off their land. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, the government could offer to buy the properties from the landowners and compensate them for their interest in it, and, you know, then give the land back that way. There's ways that can be done that can address this, that the government mm-hmm. can do it without limiting people's rights,
right,
and, you know, devaluing their interest in their homes.
That's amazing. And I'm just so glad you, as a lawyer, you as a well experienced in that regard, and a study, you know, 3,000 document. Wow, I'm fainting. Even I don't know how to reach out for even 2 pages of the law language. I wish I knew. And I believe, you know, Mary, the officer public relation for Eagle Nation Universal Production Society is with us, and she also was the connection with Kyla Lee, the lawyer of the case, and I believe she has some information that she would like
actually
to share.
I have a question, Kyla.
Yes.
I have a few friends who live in Richmond, and there were quite upset that they, as you just mentioned, they were saying that we're going to lose our land, we're not able even to renew our mortgage. And actually, in the news, there was this guy talking about that he approached, I believe, Royal Bank to renew his mortgage, and he was told that, no, we're not renewing your mortgage. So there's a huge kind of chaos in between people in Richmond, and I blame government of BC for this, not clarifying that was what you said, what's going on, that people not going to lose anything is between the Cochin nation and the government, and people like you and I have nothing to do with it, but government is not clarifying that. What's your thought on this?
It's really unfortunate. I think the government is taking this as an opportunity to try to turn it into a political situation to benefit themselves, as opposed to just, you know, stepping up to the responsibility the court imposed on them. As soon as this, you know, confusion arose because the public didn't read all 3,000 pages, you know, and people didn't know what was happening, the government said, oh, we're appealing this and we're fighting this tooth and nail. And that increases their popularity because people think the government's protecting their interests. But really, that's the government's protecting its own pockets.
Of course, of course. And leaving people in kind of like dark, not knowing what's going to happen. And people are panicking. Even in Kamloops, same thing is going on in Kamloops. And I do have a friend said who purchased property, land in Kamloops, and now they're calling me like, Miriam, do you know what's going on? And I'm going, don't worry about it. It's not between you and the Aboriginal landowners, in between the Aboriginal landowners and the government, and you don't have. But the problem is that when government is not clarifying what's going on, people are going to be in this kind of chaos of not knowing to do anything. It's like a divide and rule, the old British colonizing, that divide and rule, that's what government is doing, to my knowledge, that they're not letting public know what's going on, so the public can fight each other. Like people would think, non-natives would think, it's the natives doing this to them. So unfortunately, they're creating a chaos.
You're totally right. It is, you know, sort of almost in some respects a modern form of colonization. We saw that, you know, way back in history when people first landed here and started to try and take this land away from the people who'd been living here since time immemorial, that they were turning other people against them. You know, there were instances of advertisements that would go out. The RCMP was created to solve what they called the Indian problem in the north, right?
Yes.
So we had all these historical examples of the government manipulating messaging to turn people against First Nations and Indigenous people, rather than to say, we all have to share this land. I mean, thinking about the theme of your show today is peace. We all have to share this land, and we all have to share it in a peaceful way. And, you know, there are ways to make that happen, but the government is pitting people against each other, and it's very sad to see.
It is. It is very sad, unfortunately. What is your suggestion for people to, especially people of Richmond and Kamloops? We do have listeners in Kamloops and Richmond, non-natives and natives. What is your suggestion for people to do?
I think if people are concerned, they can contact their MLA to get some sense of what government is doing, but also know that, you know, there's no situation in which the government is going to let your home be taken from you. There have already been promises of, you know, I think $1 billion to backstop any financial consequences that arise as a result of this. And know, too, that, you know, there's nobody from any First Nation that's making a land claim that's trying to evict anybody from their land. More than 100% of BC is currently subject to land claims.
Yes.
There's all sorts of overlapping claims. Our courts are now recognizing that we just have to deal with overlapping interests in land as the reality of our modern system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I even heard from people in Coquitlam, which is also Coquitlam territory of Coquitlam Nation, and also Chilliwack, Stolo Nation territory, that people are like panicking that we're going to lose our land, we're going to lose our land. And I'm trying to write an article. I actually sent, but they did not publish it.
Well, as somebody who's who's, you know, also just recently in the last year finally got my own home, I'm not worried. So if that, you know, I have a mortgage and I have a home, and it's in an area subject to a land claim, and I am not worried. So if anybody wants to take any piece from that, you know, there's that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and giving us some of this information that can settle the minds of people and give them more knowledge on their own rights and the things that are happening on the ground right now. And it's always special to get guests coming in that can inform the public and ourselves on these issues. And it's just a great privilege and an honor to hear somebody that has the knowledge of this magnitude. Mm-hmm. And we Absolutely. Really appreciate you joining us and giving you your time and your efforts and just answering some of these questions that I know are nagging on the minds of people out there that are very concerned. So we really thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes. So we're going to carry on with our program, and we're gonna say bye for now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kyla. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
It was a pleasure to have you.
Ducks Unlimited Canada works with landowners and other conservation-minded partners to improve outcomes for communities and wildlife. Supporting vital ecosystems which contribute to water quality and quantity, soil health, support agriculture and economy, mitigate severe weather events, and provide opportunities for recreational access to nature. Together, we are unlimited. Learn more about programs and partnerships at ducks.ca.
We come. All right, we're back. And you were just saying she was Métis. That's
right.
Pretty wonderful. So anyways, we're going to carry on with our program, and we're going to be speaking with Shkwait Shakhlach from Gwaishkina, BC. And first we're going to play his song that he picked for us, and this is from Postmodern Jukebox featuring Morgan James, and it's a cover of Aerosmith, Dream On. So have a listen, enjoy, everybody. We'll be right back.